Well, it's been a quiet week in Lake Wobegon, Minnesota, my hometown, out on the edge of the prairie. It's been a beautiful week. The sun was shining, and on Wednesday it got up to 70, and there was a couple down by the lake. They were making out as if nobody could see them, and that was pretty amazing, hard to take your eyes off it. People were driving around in the country with their windows open just to smell the air. Spring rain fell on Friday. It was just absolutely beautiful. Worms coming up out of the ground, smelling very earthy. And the bear who came out of the woods from his sleep, shaking himself, herself, whoever he was, we weren't going to come close enough to ask. A bunch of dogs went out to meet him, and they opened their mouths, but no sound came out. They just looked at him, her, in astonishment. And there were little balloons that came up from their head that said, "We are dogs." And he didn't care, she, whoever it was. There was a flock of white swans who flew in, a different kind of a softer kind of a honk and a whooshing of wings, and they came in on the lake. It was like a fairy tale, in a way, as if a beggar would come out of the woods, and if you offered him hospitality, he would give you a gold coin that would give you all of your heart's wishes. Not that we believe in having your heart's wishes. We don't. We believe in making the best of what you have, but nonetheless, it was a beautiful, beautiful time. The Swansons came back to visit. Sally and Soren Swanson, they came. They've been gone now for 30 years. It's been a long, long time. Have not been back ever since. They live in Chicago now. She was from Millet, and Soren was from Lake Wobegon, and she worked as a stripper at bachelor parties, and earned a couple hundred bucks a night, and she liked that, evidently, and she danced in the nude completely at a stag party at the Sons of Canute Temple, the last stag party they ever had. The board kind of cracked down after that, and that was where Soren saw her. Her name was Candy then, and she was dancing naked as the day she was born, and he felt ashamed of himself for staring at her the way he did. And he ran out the door into the night, and it was raining outside. And about 5 minutes later, she ran over him with her Corvette. She was on her way to another engagement, and she didn't see him running in a panic through the rain, feeling guilty and so on. She knocked him down, broke his leg. She waited there for the ambulance to come, of course, and she went off to the hospital, and she stayed at the hospital for 3 days, and that's where their romance began. And 2 months later, they got married. Well, he could not live in a town where 100 men had seen his wife in the nude, and so they moved to Minneapolis and then to to Chicago. And of course, in their haste, they failed to really get to know each other and understand that they were so very, very different. But the scandal, a nice boy marrying a girl who danced in the nude, this was so huge. It bound them together. It sealed them. It welded them together. Other people married about that time in churches with benefit of Scripture have parted long since. And this scandalous couple has stayed together. Well, she was not that adventurous. What she wanted was a nice home and 3 very nice children. And he was the adventurous one, and he stayed up late at night working, and he wrote a computer program that would tell real estate people what shoppers were really wanting to buy, the crucial things. And then he wrote another program that helped you control inventory, and suddenly a lot of small businesses that were losing money started making money, and he got an enormous amount of money from that. She changed her name from Candy to Sally, and they bought a very nice house, and they had 3 very nice children. And after 25 years, most of the men who were at that stag party have pretty much forgotten it. And the rest of us, we're keeping our mouths shut. She's still very beautiful, and I imagine she still has that rose tattoo, which is just under her belly button, and it was a rose, very, very lovely. I had never seen a tattoo like that before. Anyway, people did not take much notice of Sally and Søren Swanson coming. It was a busy week with spring and everything, and people. Darlene in the chatterbox said, "So you miss Lake Wobegon?" And they said, "Of course we do." They said, "All right," she said. "Oh, sure." We distrust statements that begin with the phrase "of course" in Lake Wobegon. They almost inevitably are dishonest. There's a lot going on this week, and the big news was that Pastor Liz is leaving town, and she is moving to Rome to become pastor at the American Lutheran Church there on the Piazza Navona. And this is effective May the 1st. She applied for this job as a joke, and then the pastor, Pastor Lindbergh, resigned suddenly because he was converting to Catholicism. And it had been coming on for months, and his congregation in Rome could see this. There were more and more candles, and the sermon was getting shorter and shorter and shorter, and then a statue appeared, and it was Martin Luther, but still, you know. And then one morning, the congregation arrived at the church to find clouds of smoke. He'd been practicing with incense, and so he had to go, and Liz's application was there on their desk, and they Skyped with her, and they liked her a lot, so off she goes. Announced it last Sunday, and to be perfectly frank, she was rather giddy when she made this announcement. I mean, she was kind of girlish, and she was sort of laughing, and she was kind of bouncing up and down on her toes, and she was swinging her arms back and forth, and there wasn't the sort of regret that you would have hoped for. And she said, "Now, I don't want any big farewell luncheon or anything, no tears or anything," which is not exactly good manners to turn down something that hasn't even been offered. Huh? Nobody was even thinking about a tearful farewell. Watching her up there, smiling and very, very happy, people were thinking, "Well, goody, goody for you. Hope you're happy. Sorry we weren't good enough, you know. Hope it doesn't bite you in the ass, as it so often does, you know, when people get too big for their britches. And good luck learning Italian, huh?" She was all bouncy and very chipper, and it was. She was about 5 minutes into her big announcement before she remembered to say, "Of course I'm going to miss you all." One more statement that begins with "of course," which we don't believe. "Of course" really casts a long shadow over whatever you're saying. So when she shook hands at the end of the service, there weren't a lot of regrets expressed. People were very cool. They just said, "Well, good luck in Rome. Good luck. When do you leave?" they said. Nobody was tearful whatsoever, except for Clint Bunsen, who really does love her. And he said, "You are the best, Liz. You are the best, you know. Good preachers are never beloved. People are always relieved when a good preacher goes away." She'll be there one more Sunday, two more Sundays, Palm Sunday and then Easter next weekend. Kind of a difficult holiday. Easter, just almost always a disappointment. Coming to the end of Lent, and what do you get? You get a ham. Ham. Never turns out right, ever. Never had a good ham in my entire life, and I'm older than you. It's too dry, or it's too salty, or it's too smoky, or it tastes like bologna, you know? It just People sit and they eat it and they put mustard on it and they put horseradish on it. And just after the sensory deprivation that is Lent in the North, I mean, it's a small reward indeed, nothing to look forward to. Big hopes for ham every year, and they just never, ever, ever turn out. You sit and you chew on your ham, and your aunt walks by, your big-boned aunt walks by in her pink slacks that are a little tight, and her big hams are going back and forth. And you think to yourself, next year let's have a salad. Let's have an Easter salad. Well, it's spring anyway. The owls are hooting, and the loons are out on the lake, and the garter snakes are back, and some of them are up in the house, so there have been a few screams and excitations. And the rhubarb is 4 inches tall, and the daffodils are all blooming, and the ice is mostly out on the lake. And Mr. Berge's fish house went through. It sank. Thank God he didn't try to rescue it. He was going to do it 2 weeks ago. He went out on the ice about 20 feet, and he went slipping. He didn't drown, thank God. And now here he was Wednesday night walking through town. He had a big bucket of soapy water in his left hand, and he had a ring on a stick in his right, and he was dipping it in, and he was blowing bubbles, enormous, enormous rainbow bubbles, children following him, and these bubbles floated through the air, and they floated up into the sky, up into the sky, up towards the stars.